Well, it's a wild day. I mean, NBA trade deadline. I think the NBA trade deadline is certainly the best of all of the sports when it comes to trades. Hockey's a pretty close one. Baseball, I suppose. Football, typically, you're just not going to see it. But here we go. Let's get some of the local news out of the way first. The Lakers are trading backup center Thomas Bryant to the Nuggets for Davon Reed and 3 second round picks. It's going to be 2025, 2026, and 2029. That's future Nuggets problem. I'm not worried about that at all right now. That's a pretty big move. Nuggets needed a backup big man. DeAndre Jordan's not cutting it. So that was an instant need. And Davon Reed, let's face it, he's a hard worker and stuff, but he's not going to be an impact player in the playoffs. Thomas Bryant could be an impact player in the playoffs. I mean, he's a fine player. It's not like, oh, game changer. He's averaging 12 points per game and about 7 rebounds per game. I'll take those numbers into the playoffs. So Thomas Bryant will now be a Denver Nugget. No Bones Highland trade yet. And we have about 2 hours to go until the trade deadline hits. Now, again, that doesn't mean anything. We can see trades at 12:59 come through. I mean, everybody's on the horn right now. So that's the Nuggets news, and we'll talk about how that impacts Denver going forward. But obviously some of the big-time news that came out late last night with the Nets trading Kevin Durant to the Phoenix Suns. We got the deal here. I'm still getting the exacts from that trade. But the Suns got the blockbuster deal. They acquire Kevin Durant, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, who posted that late last night, early this morning. The Suns are going to send Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder for first-round picks. And now Jay Crowder's going to Milwaukee, it looks like. So just stay with us here because there's a lot happening. So this is going back to the Kyrie Irving trade earlier. What? Was that early this week, Angel? It feels like a lifetime ago. So that was kind of what got the ball moving. Kyrie Irving played last night for Dallas, and Dallas beat the Clippers on the road without Luka. So we'll see how. We don't have the answer of how those two will play together. I didn't see it last night, but they got a win. So you have that situation going on. Phoenix, that's our poll question. Is Phoenix the favorite? According to the odds makers, Phoenix is the favorite now to win the West. That's the question today. Go vote at theholeshow.com. A couple of options there for you. Are the Suns now the favorite to win the West? Yes. No, it's still Denver. Or just no, meaning you didn't really think Denver was the favorite, but you're just saying no. 50% of the Hooligans right now are saying yes, the Suns are the favorite to win the West. Well, Kevin Durant's still not cleared to play, but you do have to wonder when that happens. I don't know, a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks? I have no clue. But if you're Phoenix, you're not making that deal unless you know he's going to play this year. So they become scary. Adding to Chris Paul and Devin Booker. And, I mean, this is an Ayton, of course. This is going to be a good team. They're going to make a push. How big of a push? Listen, these moves sometimes can take a while to take hold. And halfway through more than halfway through the season, maybe this is a move for next year for Phoenix, where it's like next year that's going to be scary. Because then Kevin Durant will really work in with this group and gel. But I've also seen it where it can work instantly. Suns are 30-26 right now. They play tonight against the Hawks. Devin Booker is still hurt. Kevin Durant hurt. So what does that look like? That's a pretty tough lineup right there. I still love the Nuggets starting five. And so when you look at the Nuggets bench right now, or the depth chart at least, nothing's going to change with the starters. If you're worried about that, don't worry. It's going to be Jamal Murray, KCP, Michael Porter Jr., Aaron Gordon, Nikola Jokic. That is the five. coming off the bench first. It's probably, you know, Bruce Brown, Thomas Bryant, who's actually listed as day-to-day. So I don't, even if he was healthy, he wouldn't play tonight. You got to clear all that stuff up. So it'd be a couple of games anyway, but he's listed as day-to-day. Who comes off the bench first? I mean, Bones, I'm telling you, I mean, Angel, I'm on ESPN.com right now. Bones Highland's not even listed as their second or third options in the depth chart. Do you have him? They have him as their like fourth in the, within the fourth team, fourth unit, which isn't, doesn't exist. What does this mean, though, for Zeke Nagy, Jeff Green, and Vlatko Chanchar's minutes? That's going to impact those guys to the point where I don't even know if Zeke Nagy makes sense. Because that was the idea, was, okay, DeAndre Jordan is kind of a, you know, break the glass kind of guy, an emergency situation. He's not the same DeAndre Jordan. Saying that's been more evident now more than ever. Certainly not as good as Boogie Cousins was when the Nuggets got him around this time last year, later into the season, I suppose. But Thomas Bryant is a guy that's going to give you meaningful minutes coming off the bench, helping that unit out. So that's a good move there. It leaves you with questions about what the Nuggets depth chart's going to look like. And really, what does this mean now? The target for the Nuggets, I think we all kind of said, yeah, they need another wing guy. But the real focal point was getting a backup center, backup big man that can come in when Joker is getting some rest. If Joker gets in foul trouble, completely different player than Joker. But so is DeAndre Jordan and so was Boogie Cousins. You're not going to find another Joker, so you can't really find a backup to him. You know, it's not football where a lot of times you get a quarterback, and if it's Lamar Jackson, you go get a Huntley. You want a running type quarterback so it fits within your offense. That doesn't always mean the same thing in basketball. You're just needing bodies that can go out for, I don't know, what was Thomas Bryant averaging in his minutes? Was he like at 16, 17 minutes? I mean, again, this is a big move. It's not a big move compared to what we're seeing out there. But this is a very solid move because Davon Reed wasn't a part of the equation. And those future picks are second rounders well in, you know, 2025, 26, 20, 29. So I'm not going to sweat the picks right now. It's not like the Broncos. The Nuggets are already established. They already have their guys. They have their studs for the next 5-plus years. So it's not, although they have done really well in the draft. So yeah, if there's concern there, Tim Conley and so far Calvin Booth, they've fared very well with their draft picks, both in the first and second round. So I guess there's a minor concern there overall, but nah, this is a really good move. He's probably, what, a 20-minute guy, Thomas Bryant?
Yeah, right about 21 minutes in this regular season so far with the Lakers. Just watching a little bit of his highlights in the break between shows, and it looks like he could fit really well in this offense. He has really good length down low. Just having that size down in the paint is going to be nice for the Nuggets, and then he can shoot the ball a little bit. He can shoot the three ball. He had like 31 points against Portland a couple weeks ago, so he's a young player, a guy that I think can learn under Nikola Jokic, and even, you know, Jeff Green and DeAndre Jordan can kind of teach him the ropes of this offense. But it's also just coming out that he didn't like his situation in L.A. because of Anthony Davis and his back and forth with the injuries and such. And since AD has come back, his minutes have dropped a little bit. He actually requested this trade. So the Nuggets kind of helping him out, bringing him to a better situation, I think, and a guy that is looking to get into a better fit.
I wonder if they'll try to work any minutes with him and Joker, too. Again, you just kind of wonder.
Well, we've seen it with, you know, Chanchar will go in there sometimes. Mm-hmm. Jeff Green will be on the floor sometimes with Jokic. So getting that balance figured out, I think it's good to secure up that bench. I think just having that defender in the paint is going to help because other teams aren't going to just attack them knowing that there's not a presence down there. So I like this trade. I'm very interested to see what they do with Bones at this point. It could go either way for me. I could see them keeping him and trying to figure out, you know, what that relationship is going to look like moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think it can, you know, get fixed, but if they do trade him for another piece, I could see that as well.
Well, the weird thing for me, and I jumped on with the Good Morning NoCo fellas, and, you know, it's hard to go back now. It's hard to say, oh, well, we weren't playing you at all. Even when we were down four starters, which if that were a normal situation, Bones would have probably started that game, or at least came right off the bench first, but didn't go. And the reason for that is you're trying to just prepare for life without Bones, because you, Angel, were one of them. It's like, what's the benefit of just sitting him? Why not keep playing him? And I'm telling you, obviously you don't want him to get hurt, because then that destroys any kind of a trade deal. But first and foremost, it's we want to prepare as if he's gone. Because there's no point in trying to grow his chemistry with that bench unit if we know Bones Highland is going to be gone. So, yeah, I still feel pretty confident they're going to trade Bones. I'm not as confident as I was this morning, though, because your big target was a backup center. You got him. What's your next target? A consistent guy. You know, and a lot of people bring it up. Well, Bones, don't you want a guy that can go off for 9 points in 2 minutes? He can. But that doesn't happen every night. In fact, it's rare when that happens. It's getting more rare. He's also going to be the guy that can turn it over, and he doesn't facilitate like a traditional point guard. He's not a passer. He is an attacker. He is a Will Barton-type player, and I'm not making that comparison to be a slight on him, but he is a scorer. He's a slasher. That's what kind of player he is right now. Can he be a different player down the road? Sure. But right now, the Nuggets are weighing whether or not they can win a title while Bones is learning this season. This is the window. It's not this year or bust, but you feel like you're the best team in the West. So you do feel like we can do it. The chances of winning a title for the Nuggets, Angel, I don't think have ever been this good. Maybe back when Melo and Chauncey Billups teamed up, and that was the year they ran through the playoffs and they got to the Western Conference Finals and lost to the Lakers. I think we all kind of thought maybe that was the year. But right now, the Nuggets have maintained the top spot in the West pretty much all season, right? They weathered a lot of interesting storms. They had a terrible road schedule to start the season. They were trying to nurse Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. back to health, even though they were playing, but getting them right. Then they had Michael Porter Jr. out for a while. That was a big deal. And they busted through. They haven't had a lot of controversy this year, but they busted through all of that. The tough road schedule and getting Jamal and MPJ back into 100%. I don't know that they're ever 100%, but you know what I mean. So to get through that, they're good. They're very good. But I do like this comparison. The Avs were the best team in the league last year when they started making trades. They got guys like Andrew Cogliano who helped them win a title. So you can't just sit back and say, no, we're fine. Phoenix made a move to win a title. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year, but that's their move. The Mavericks feel like they've made a big enough move to win a title with Kyrie Irving. Golden State doesn't really need to make moves. They're still pretty set with who they are. Memphis is a good team. Denver can't just sit back and say, yeah, no, we're going to take our chances with it. The bottom line is, I'll take their starting five going up against pretty much any starting five in the league right now, but that's not what it's about. What's going to happen when Joker is out, Gordon is out, MPJ is out for the first 5 minutes of the second quarter, game seven, game six, whatever, round two? Because that's what you're trying to predict right now, is what will those 5 minutes to start the second look like? What will those 5 minutes to start the fourth look like? I mean, you can simplify it down to that right there. What are those 5, 10, 15 minutes going to look like in every playoff game when Nikola Jokic is on the bench? What if he gets in foul trouble? What if Jamal, knocking on wood, what if Jamal gets hurt? What if MPJ gets hurt? You have to make sure you have the guys to get you there. This isn't last year. This isn't, you know what, Joker, just drag us to the finish line and we'll see what happens. No, nobody's dragging this team. This team is flowing right now. They are in a very good spot. But I'd be lying to you if I woke up this morning and said my thoughts of the Nuggets winning a title weren't hindered a bit, didn't take a little bit of a dent. It did. I still think they're going to win the championship this year. I'm going to stay with that. But it did. These kind of moves, this is what the NBA trade deadline is all about. They're geniuses when it comes to this. They do it at a perfect time. This is going to be something very interesting. We got a party going on out there. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Your thoughts on the trade and everything. Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly from last night. Presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more on FMS Bank, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. And the good for me is going to be this. Is the NBA trade deadline. It is very entertaining. You know, whether it hurts the Nuggets or helps the Nuggets, it's kind of must-see. We're all stuck on Woj's Twitter account right now trying to figure out what the next moves in the NBA are going to be. So I absolutely do love this time. And I love it when the Nuggets are semi-involved. I don't love it when the Nuggets are like, they have to make a monster trade in order to take a big step. And if they don't, it's considered a big failure. I kind of like where the Nuggets are right now. If they don't trade Bones, it's not going to be the end of the world. If they do, it's also not going to be the end of the world. But you take a risk both ways. Calvin Booth is playing chess right now, scratching his chin, staring at the board, waiting to see what the next move is going to be. He's got all of his pawns still. They could be stronger. The pawns could be stronger, but he has his king and queen. He has his rooks. They're all good to go. But how do we get the pawns? I don't want to lose any more pawns here. And I want to make sure, for those of you that understand chess, half of our audience is like, what in the hell's chess? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. If you want to chime in on the Denver Nuggets and the trade stuff. The bad for me is, and we're going to talk to our guy, Cody Tucker of 7220sports.com. What is going on with Wyoming? Wyoming lost to UNLV 69-59, but that's not really the story. You remember at the beginning of the season, Angel, when we were talking about those Pac-12 transfers that came over? There was like, what, three of them that came over? They're all gone. They just left the program. They're gone. I don't know. According to Cody's post at 7220sports.com, all transfers from the Pac-12 are no longer members of the Cowboys. Ethan Anderson, Max Jake Keeman left the team Tuesday. What does that mean for Wyoming? What's going on over there? Obviously not the season they expect. They were picked to win, weren't they? Was it Wyoming or San Diego State? I think it was Wyoming. It was pretty close. So it's been a rough go. The ugly for me is again, we're going to sort through this today, but the Russell Wilson stuff, the foundation that he was a part of, it's his foundation raised millions, and only a quarter of it went to charity. So USA Today did this monster story on it, and we'll unpack that coming up next, but we got to take a break. 24 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour, it's trade deadline day in the NBA. We have put a call out to Chris Dempsey to see if we can get him on in the 1 o'clock hour, because by then we're probably going to know, well, we will know, whether Bones Highland is a Denver Nugget or he is somewhere else, and if the Nuggets got better. But the Nuggets are making moves. We'll talk more in detail about that throughout the day today. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Broncos have their head coach, but can he fix Russ? Hear Broncos talk on Northern Colorado's voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Nuggets gave up Davon Reed, 3 second round picks, 2025, 2026, and 2029, to acquire backup center Thomas Bryant from the Los Angeles Lakers. So my initial thoughts, it's obviously a great move. Davon Reed wasn't a piece to the puzzle, and the Nuggets are well enough established where I'm not that stressed about losing This isn't the Broncos. I'm not that stressed about losing three second-rounders split up over, you know, from 25 to 29 over 4 years there in a span. Not going to lose sleep over that one. A story we're going to get into a little bit later on in the show was this investigation by the USA Today Network publishing yesterday about Russell Wilson's charity known as the Why Not You Foundation. It was a six-month investigation into it. They sought to investigate past Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year award winners, nonprofits, ending up keying in on the Broncos quarterback Wilson. He received the honor, the award back in 2020. And that's the league's kind of most prestigious honor there. We love that award. So his charity that he created, according to USA Today, they found that Wilson's organization reported it spent just 24.3 cents on every dollar on charitable activities in 2020 and 2021, combined and nearly twice as much as the $1.1 million on salaries and employee benefits in that span, according to federal tax records. In layman's terms, they spent very little, well, less than 50% of what that charity was bringing in on actual charitable organizations and events. The rest was spent on salaries, six figures. An executive got more than six figures, who also works personally for Sierra, Russell Wilson's wife, and Russell Wilson. So this is what the investigation states, and I'm just going to read it. From 990 federal tax returns from the nonprofit's inception through 2021 show it reported $7.5 million in revenue and $7 million in expenses during its first 8 years of existence. Less than half of the money, $2.8 million, or 39.6 cents of every dollar spent, has gone to charitable activities, all as grants to other nonprofits. The remaining $4.2 million has paid for fundraising, administrative, and management expenses, including the salary of three employees who have received $1.9 million combined. So there's going to be more on that. We're going to get into that. It's not a good look. I don't know what the legal ramifications are right now. You know, did Russell Wilson make decisions to do this? Probably not. He put it together, started it. A lot of times you see this in pro athletes. They put the money into it. They invest into it. And then the people that run it take care of it. So it's not like Russ said, no, I want less than half of the money to go, just less than half, to go to charitable organizations. That's not what it appears to me right now reading this, what it sounds like. It's still bad. As Tanner pointed out this morning on the morning show, you're still putting your name behind it. It's kind of like the when all those players invested in, what was I talking about, Angel?
FTX.
FTX, and that turned out to be a sham, and all those players' names were mentioned in it. Well, those players aren't in prison or anything, so it could be something along those lines. But we'll break into it a little bit later on. 33 minutes after the hour, we're talking Colorado State. We're going to hit it all today, man. We are going to bust through it all today. Kevin Lytle will join me from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Nico Medved, the men's basketball coach of the Colorado State Rams. And you're listening to The Hull Show on 1310 KFKA.
Cue Kevin Lytle's walk-up theme right there. You can just picture him popping out, getting ready for the Royal Rumble. Takes a drink of his bottled water and spews it out over the top. Throws it down and sprints under the ring. Here he is, Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and our Rams insider. Kevin, my man, how are you?
Doing awesome. How are you?
I'm good, man. What do you think about that? That's your entry. You could be joining into the Royal Rumble. I think you'd fare pretty well.
Let's give it a shot. What could go wrong?
Nothing would go wrong. You would be brilliant. We'd write the script that way for you. We'd make sure of it somehow, some way. What does the script show for the rest of the season for the Colorado State men's basketball team? It was nice to see them break that losing streak and beat Air Force. It kind of seems like that loss to Air Force a while back was when it really started to feel like, yikes, this season's getting rough. But for them to do it with what? I mean, what'd they use, eight players against Air Force?
Yeah, I mean, this roster continues to be very limited for a variety of reasons. Injury and illness, you know, struck again in the last week. So, yeah, seven scholarship guys, and then Trace Young, a walk-on, played more than a dozen minutes against Air Force. You know, that's where CSU is at right now with how limited they are. But man, I thought CSU played really well. I think it goes to show, not to excuse that early loss to them because CSU shouldn't have lost it, but Air Force is so difficult to play because they do things that are so unusual and you never really see them elsewhere. And, you know, in that first matchup, CSU had a quick turn. And a lot of these guys, you know, your Patrick Cartiers, your Palmers, you know, your younger guys haven't really seen it. So they, you know, they were pretty baffled by it, as you could tell by how Air Force scored. But in this one, you know, CSU played pretty well. I think the defense was a little shaky again early in the game. But then you could tell kind of the muscle memory kicked in of like, oh, okay, this is what we need to do. And they did it well. And then offensively, you know, it was the two guys, John Tonjay and Isaiah Stevens, both kind of early on, you could tell, were like, oh, no one on this team can defend me, so I'll just beat them over and over and over. And that's what they did. And those two guys, your senior leaders, did what you kind of want them to do and, you know, kind of drag you out of that slump.
It was cool to, you know, I just expect every night Isaiah Stevens is gonna do something. He's going to fill the stat sheet, whether that's, you know, he's always going to get a pretty good amount of points, but he's going to have a lot of assists. But seeing John Tonjay kind of get it going, yeah. I think that's the one player most Rams fans can agree on. Like, that's the second guy. If he can really get it going consistently, then maybe the Rams can, you know, put a nice finishing touch to the season. And who knows? Get a win or two, get some buy-in from the fan base, and suddenly they go rolling into the Mountain West Tournament. But Tonjay, there's a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, he's had some very good games and some not great ones. The most encouraging is this is back-to-back games where he's played quite well. He had 20 against Utah State in the loss there, and I thought was really in control. And he did the same, you know, because I think, you know, when John struggles, it's almost over trying. You know, he tries to do too much because, again, just like you said, he knows that the team needs him to do that. But when he's really in control, and he sure was against Air Force, really good shots, you know, really smart drives to the rim, 21 points, a back-to-back 20-point games for John. If he can be doing that consistently, all of a sudden the CSU team does get a lot more dangerous. Again, I'm not saying they're going to go win the Mountain West, but they do become more dangerous because you would have a little bit more of a second fiddle, you know, behind Isaiah. Because like you said, you know you're going to get somewhere between 15 and 20 points and somewhere between like 5 and 8 assists from Isaiah night in, night out.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and he is our CSU Rams insider. They get a little time off here until they take on Boise State, I think the day after Valentine's Day. What do you think the roster is going to look like at that point? Are they going to get some guys back? What's shaping up, at least leading into that game and the final stretch of the season?
Yeah, health-wise, definitely a good time to get, you know, kind of a week off before playing again. So I expect Tavy Jackson and probably Jalen Lake to be back for that game. Tavy was out with, you know, illness, I guess. So just some time off. He should be fine. It shouldn't be anything like the Josiah Strong situation that dragged out. So he should be back. And hopefully he can get back on the practice court before then, you know, kind of get his legs back under him. And then Jalen, like, he was out with the concussion, but I think they're hopeful that he'll be able to be back Tuesday as well next week. So the roster should be a little bit more intact, and all the other guys who are out are long-term absences. So if you get Lake and Jackson back, that's as full as you can be.
Yeah, well, what's been going on? Obviously, injuries happen, but and this isn't just a CSU thing. I've been hearing it with a lot of teams, like illness, and it's been like a couple of weeks taking guys out, not a few days. I mean, what is going on, you know, specifically with CSU, but obviously we're seeing it all over the place.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things. I mean, one, obviously COVID is still around and you know, guys can still catch COVID, which obviously knocks you out. And I think part of it is, it used to be, I think, maybe standard practice of, well, you know, you get sick, you play through it. I think, you know, partially through COVID, you know, people are kind of smartened up that, well, that's, you know, that's probably not great for the health of everyone. It's probably not great for the health of an individual. So I think you're seeing it a little more often of, if someone's sick, you just want to get them away from the team or else they'll rip through the team, you know, whether it's COVID or not. You know, you don't want a team full of guys with the flu either. So I think there's probably some of that in play too, but COVID, of course, is still, you know, lingering around and can still affect things. We've seen a couple games around the country be postponed due to COVID issues. So, you know, it's not totally impacting like it was, you know, a year or a couple of years ago, but, you know, it still exists, obviously.
Kevin, it's a crazy world, man. At the beginning of the season, if you would have looked at the standings and predicted, you know, Colorado State and Wyoming would be at the bottom. We all knew it would be a different year for the Rams, but nothing like this. And then for Wyoming, there's something going on over there, man. I don't know what's happening over there, but it's just kind of wild to see that when Wyoming was where. Kevin, was Wyoming projected to win the West or come in second?
Second. I think some people had them first, but the majority in the poll ended up with San Diego State first, Wyoming second.
Okay, so and CSU was falling somewhere in the, what, 4 or 5 range?
4 or 5 range, yep.
So you look at that, and it's like, man, that was a miss. And obviously a lot of things happened, Wyoming specifically with Graham Ike, and then everything, it was a domino effect after that. And then CSU, obviously we've outlined their struggles too, but it's bizarre how the season works out. You think you know stuff, and then it turns out we don't. We just don't.
Yeah. Yeah, it really shows how quick things change in college basketball. And it's a lot of things. Obviously, transfer portal being one of them. Injuries, obviously, are always, you know, an unknown and unpredictable. And just the volatility of, you know, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. It's not always a linear upward path for everyone.
Kevin Lytle joining us. Kevin, I know it's been a few days past and we're trying to kind of be done with it, but I did want to get your thoughts. I haven't talked much about it on the show this week, but the Russia chant that was going on in the Utah State game, I wanted to get your perspective because there's two sides, it seems like, all over Twitter. There's one side that's like, there's no way this happened. They were saying something else. They were saying the player's name. They were saying whatever. And then the other side is like, dude, CSU apologized for it. They put out a release and Nico Medved said something about it. So I wanted to get your perspective on what went down against Utah State.
Yeah, I mean, it happens. That's right. Like you said, it's documented. CSU doesn't put out a statement, you know, explicitly saying what it was. You know, if they don't feel it happened, people on the court heard it. It was, you know, it's one of those, you don't want to make a broad condemning stroke saying, oh, you know, this is reflective of Colorado State and the fan base. But you also don't just dismiss it as, well, it's a couple idiots, because it is just a couple of idiots, but that's still too many idiots. So it's really disappointing. You know, you hope the crowd, you know, will kind of police itself on things like that. I think for the most part that does happen. Obviously a few people went, you know, way over a line that shouldn't be crossed. I've never heard that type of thing at a CSU game before, hopefully never will again. Frankly, I did not hear it at the game. You know, I'm next to the student section, but, you know, in a lot of ways shielded by the student section too. So clearly whoever would have been saying that was kind of in the front row there, or front rows. It's one of those that hopefully it can be, you know, more a learning, teaching lesson. And, especially, fans going forward, if anyone say anything, you know, out of line, nothing wrong with, turn around and tell them that's not okay, which isn't, you know, a comfortable thing to do, but I think sometimes necessary because people can get carried away. I think most importantly, I thought Max Schulga, you know, really handled it with class. He obviously would have been entitled, I think, to, you know, pretty much any reaction he felt because of, you know, what him and his family are going through.
Sure.
But he, you know, his statement I thought was really classy of, yeah, that's, you know, inappropriate outline. I appreciate CSU and Coach Medved for condemning it. And I understand that people get carried away at games. And basically he just put it to bed, said, you know, it was disappointing, but I accept the apology and let's move on. So kudos to him. I thought he handled that really, really well.
Yeah, and for those that don't know the full situation, Max Schulga, of course, is from Ukraine. And,
yeah.
And again, not that he needed to do that at all. He could have very much been more upset. He could have released a very bad statement, and it would have been understandable. But I'm telling you, that I got a respect factor for that guy now to just be like, you know what? I get it. It sucks. It's terrible. Not to excuse it, but it was kind of cool to see him go that route. And then on the other thing, like you said, it's not – This isn't painting the picture of Fort Collins. I saw somebody say, that's Fort Collins. They're right around Greeley in Weld County. That's a very conservative city. I'm like, dude, have you been to Fort Collins? but all that stuff, like some of the ideals that surround it are crazy to me. I just wish some of the apologists would be like, dude, acknowledge it. A couple of fans did it. That sucked. They're knuckleheads. They're stupid. They're idiots. Whatever. But we can't blindly defend it as if no way a student would ever say that.
Yeah. I think that's a good point too. Of it doesn't do any help to basically try and deny and hide behind it too. It's like I say, hopefully more than anything, a learning experience that. You know, can move on from and, you know, have your fun at the game. You know, you can taunt opponents in ways, you know, but there are some lines that don't get crossed. And certainly family in a war-torn country is a line to not cross.
Yeah, that's one of them right there. Kevin Lytle joining us. Lastly, the CSU women's team, it was nice for them. They've won two in a row. They beat Utah State last week, and then they took down Wyoming in a close game. Six games remaining for them. And when you look at, you know, where they sit in the standings and everything, I mean, I know they kind of went on a little slump there for a moment, but Kevin, you still got to feel really good about where CSU is right now. UNLV has certainly climbed up to that top spot, but CSU could climb up another one as they're just below San Diego State.
Yeah, exactly. I think CSU pretty well positioned to get second. They do play at San Diego State later in this year, so that'll be a really big one. But yeah, it seems like, you know, they had that loss to UNLV and sort of hit a funk after that, which I think is understandable. But now they seem to be back on form and kind of like I've said all year, I think this team has every chance to make that Mountain West title game and then, you know, just have a 40-minute battle to try and, you know, win a bid to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it should be fun to follow that one. Kevin will be in, and Chris, too, today. We got Rams Weekly. It's a short version because we have UNC Hoops coming up against Portland State. Pretty big game for them. But we'll be looking forward to diving in a little more detail about all things Colorado State Hoops with you later on today at 5 o'clock.
Absolutely. Nice to be talking about a win once again.
Yes, it is. It's kind of it's like a feel-good week here, to be honest. There's been a lot of wins in the area, so that's been exciting. Kevin, my man, always appreciate you, and we'll look forward to talking to you in a few hours.
Sounds good. See you later.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Yeah, I haven't talked a lot about the Utah State thing, but I think CSU handled it extremely well, the way they handled it. A couple of idiots, or whatever you want to call them. I don't like to use that word very often, but you can't paint it with a broad stroke and say that's CSU. 11:50 the time. Let's wrap up the first hour. We got a busy second hour coming up. We got the lunch rush. We got Cody Tucker going to talk to us from 7220sports.com about what in the world is going on over there in Wyoming. So all that coming up next. More on the Nuggets trade, more on the Broncos. It's the whole show, powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Your home for UNC basketball. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Kristen Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to the whole show, 1310 KFKA.
There we go. There's the Woj bomb. As Angel told me during the break, he just tweeted it out. The Clippers will send the Nuggets a 2024 and 2025 second round pick for Bones Highland. Bones Highland is gone. And the Nuggets basically got back. They traded 3 second-round picks along with Davon Reed for Thomas Bryant. Well, they got two of those back. So, Angel, if you kind of want to do it this way, it's like the Nuggets traded Bones Highland, Davon Reed, a second-round pick for Thomas Bryant. That's kind of the way to look at this thing here. But while getting back just 1 second-round pick. So are we good with that? Are you good? I mean, they may not be done.
I don't think they're done. I think if this was a straight-up trade for a player, that would be it. But now there is a lack of guard on that second unit, and you need to go get somebody.
Unless you're confident in Ish Smith and Christian Brown.
I mean, there's definitely chemistry with Brian as well. So.
Yeah. Now, you and I both felt this way at the beginning of the week. We said if you just get picks for Bones, it's going to feel like a letdown. However, I don't think either one of us thought they were going to trade Davon Reed and package some picks up there to get Thomas Bryant. So that being said, let's assume this is the final move. Are you good with this now? Because it's not Bones for picks, because you did get, you did fill that need with Thomas Bryant. Feel better than you thought you would have?
I like the Bryant move. I'm interested to see what other move is going to be made. I think we've already seen today that there are teams just trading straight-up picks for players. Jay Crowder went for three second-round picks. So yeah. I think the Nuggets will make another move here.
All right. Think about this. Jazz is trying to pay off Russell Westbrook's Freudian slip. Russell Westbrook's contract, so you wouldn't have to trade to get him. Would he make sense as a bench player for the Nuggets? Think about it. We'll be right back.